participants.
I think the tape caught it.
All right, so, okay. For the Tikva, I'm a Ratzin.
How are you just going to get here for dinner?
Right, or I used to call the program the Takala program. I wanted to just give you a sense that when you learn Agadita, it's not just reading through the Gemara just so you can get to the next piece of Lamdas. There's a lot of interesting ideas which come up. Part of the problem is that unlike when you're learning standard Ion Gemaras, it's just kind of do with my sheets. Here. When you're standard Ion, it's hard to find the Makaros because they're speculative, because as opposed to Ion, anyone can say anything about it. So, yeah, that's Agadita. What does it mean to you? What does it suggest about us? We'll see. So it's not regulated. And there aren't direct Gemaras that cross-reference. There'll be Gemaras that, as you'll see, will overlap with what our Gemara is talking about, but they're not direct references, as, let's say, some of the sugyas in Halacha you're learning. And also the range of Svarim that you're dealing with is so much broader. It's Machshava Svarim, it's Musar Svarim, it's Chassidish Svarim. So it's a whole different type of learning, but there's a lot of depth to it. And I would recommend that you probably try to find Svarim that are Malakate, the Svarim that pull together, that compile. When you're learning Ion, you can pretty much look at the Ritva, look at the Rashba, look at the Ramban, follow the Makaros, follow the footnotes, and get to most of the Gemaras through the Rishonim. Whereas in Agadita, it's harder to find these things. But at least I wanted to give you, as we say, a geschmack, and meanings that when you're learning Agadita, and in many ways, as you'll see, Agadita sometimes can provide some of that religious, direct Avodas Hashem in a way that learning Gemara is more abstract. So let's take a look at the Gemara, Chav Zayin Rebeis, Chav Chesim and Aleph. The Gemara, because it had discussed Rabbi Eliezer, and this is Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus, so it gets into a discussion of Rabbi Eliezer and some of his traits. So, Tanu Rabbanan, Chav Chesim and Aleph. Maisei Rabbi Eliezer, Sheshavas Begalel La'Elyon. So he had Shabbos, and well, he's either resting, it's not clear whether it was Shabbos, he was in the Galil. The Shalu Shloshim Halachas B'Lecha Sukkah. They asked him 30 Halachas in Sukkah. We're testing him. 12 of them, he replied, I heard from my Rebbe. 18, he said, I didn't hear. Biyazi says the opposite. 18, he heard. 12, he didn't hear. Amar lahem lo shamati. Amar lahem, it tells the halacha. Amar lahem, about four lines before it gets white. His kiktuni, lomar davashalom shamati mipi rabosa. You're forcing me to say something I didn't hear from my Rebbe. Who is Belez's Rebbe? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Miyamai, Lo kidmani adam beis hamedrash. No one ever came before me to the beis medrash. Lo yashanti beis hamedrash. I never slept, even a nap. Lo inachti adam beis hamedrash v'yatzati. I was the last one in the beis hamedrash. Lo sachti sichas chulin. I never spoke sichas chulin. V'lo amarti davar shelo shamati mipi rabbi miolam. And I never said anything that I didn't hear from my rebbeim. And, interestingly enough, many of these traits, not all of them, he received from watching his rabbi B'Yochanan ben Zakkai, because the Gemara says, line number two, Amru Allah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, miyamav losach sichas chulin. He had other traits that Elazar ben Horkinus didn't copy or didn't achieve. Lo halach dalat amas below tara, below tefillin. That was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Lo kadman beis hamedrash. He was the first in the beis medrash. Something which also Elazar ben Horkinus was makbid on. He didn't sleep shenas ari shenas keva. Line number five, Lo hira b'mavos ha-metunafos, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai now was careful not to be maharatara in places where they're inappropriate. Lo niech adam beis ha-medrash v'yatza, he was the last in the beis medrash. Lo matza adam yoshe v'domim el yoshe v'shona, pasach adam delos ha-tamid av'alahu, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was very interesting. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was very mechabed his talmidim. He's mechabed his talmidim, and he would make sure to open the door for the talmidim, and presumably, because of that, his talmid became such gedolim. It's always a question, as we've talked about in education. So it's our job to be your rebbeim, to be moral authority, but to what degree can we also empower you to be your own people? So that's right at the seam line between different shittos of chinuch, and we talked about the slabaka shita of chinuch. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was very makbid to be mechabe talmidim, and that created such great gedolim. It's a very interesting shita. And v'lo amar davar, Shaloshami P. Rabbo Me'olam, Yochanan ben Zakkai never said anything that he didn't hear from his Rebbe. Who is Yochanan ben Zakkai's Rebbe? We'll soon see. Hillel. So we'll get into Hillel. V'lo amar higia eslam v'beis ha-medrash, and he never forced the people to get up from learning. Chutz me'arv v'psachem v'arv yom kippur. Me'arv pesach, arv yom kippur. He said, stop learning. V'chein ha'yir v'lezat tamido no'eg acharav. His Talmud was no egg either. Some of these things, all of these things, the reports we have, some of the things, maybe all of the things, it's not clear. I just want to discuss some of these midas. One of the midah of both of them was lo sach sichas chulin. They never spoke sichas chulin. Now, on the surface, this would be that they weren't involved in jokes and frivolity and nibble peh. Even though the Gemara talks about sichas chulin shlemi chachamim has meaning, evidently the word sichas chulin has different meanings. That when you say you should listen to the sichas chulin shlemi chachamim, it means their normal talk. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was makbid, perhaps even not to engage in what we would call normal talk that may be valuable. If you take a look at the Magen Avos is the Rashbats, one of the Svarim or Pirkei Avos. So he sees this as a reference to the fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was makbid about shtika. I talked about shtika last Wednesday night in the Parsha Chug and the trade of Aidum Aaron. So he feels it wasn't just being makbid against frivolous talk, but he felt that v'chem b'perak ha'yashin, source number one, part line four, Amr Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, shelosach sichas chulin miyamav, v'chein ha'yose b'leze tamido, v'akayotze b'ze davr ze hachach, dibir ze hachacham, he quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, chacham is always Shlomo, a few lines before, or in this case, he may be referring to the Mishnah in Perkei Avos, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. He says, she'ein laguf yafa mishtika, she petach tikva. It's a phrase, petach tikva is a city. Petach tikva is also a phrase from Yirmiyah. It's Yishaya petach tikva, l'kol maila. It's a window, it's a portal, as we would say, for every maila. Ki yasa ikar yishivasa ben hachamim, l'shmoa tochachasam. So we would say that shtika developmentally allows you to think about things more, but in this case, it also lets you sit with people and in this case, listen to their input and grow. The Kamosha Amar Shlomo Melech Ozen Shamas Tochachas Chaim. You listen to Tochachas. Umimovsei Hachacham Hiyashtika. Umimovsei Haksil Ribui Hadvar. So it's not just avoiding meaningless talk or in some cases prohibited talk, but also trying to be makbid a little bit on shtika. Another interesting part of Yochanan ben Zakkai, after the Gemara talks about Hillel, we'll get back to Hillel. They said about Yochanan ben Zakkai, about six lines before the Mishnah, Amr Allah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shilom Niach Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, Halachos, Agadatos, Dikduke, Tara, Dikduke, Sofrim, Kalim, Mechamurim, Mizera Shavos, Tkufos, Gematrios. People sometimes are very, very dismissive of the Gematrios. Gematrios have a place in our Masara. Maybe they don't have a place if you make up your own gematria, just like if you make up your own Gzera Shava. So, not that anyone in this room. But seriously, when you have these people that get up and give Devei Torah and make up their own gematria, so one could question whether that's part of the Masara. But the Gemara learns out many halachos. Rashi quotes, if we want to take a look, all of the halachos and various Gemaras, which we derive not just from gematria or at Bashkar, but that would be presumably HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe at Har Sinai, here's a halacha that I want you to derive from the coded gematria, rather than a person. Now, of course, Chassidus Rabbanim intuited a lot of their own gematrias, just like they presented new ways of reading the Chumash, and new ways of reading Psukim, and they suggested that there could be certain truths that would be revealed to later Rabbanim that weren't revealed to earlier Rabbanim, including Moshe at Har Sinai. Emesam is Chadashis b'chol yom. But that would be someone who would at least make a claim to Ruach HaKodesh, whereas you and me just getting up and giving gematria, that would be abusing the system. So a lot of people have very, very radical views about gematria. When they hear gematria, all of a sudden it's a joke and it's a gimmick. It isn't. It's part of something Rabbi Yochanan studied, part of the Masara. That doesn't necessarily mean you can then make up your own gematria. Anyway, but in addition to gematria, Tzichos Malachei Asharis, Tzichas Shedim, Tzichas Dekalim, Mishalos Kovsim, Mishalos Shualim, Davar Gadol V'Davar Katan. So this is the full range of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's knowledge. Now, a couple interesting things about this report of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. First of all, what is Sichas Dekalim? What are the speeches of the trees? So the Gemara says, and the Medrash says, that Shlomo Melech knew how to understand or was able to understand the speech of the birds, the speech of the trees. It's a Medrash in Shihar Shirim Rabbah. So evidently, there is some speech. There is some conversation. And we refer to this in Tehillim, when we recite every Friday night, Az Yiraninu Atzehayar, Mithle Hashem Kivalish Bodhis Aretz. There's some Shira. And not just when we recite this parak every Shabbos night, but we talk about the Shira and the Hallel, Halu Kol Malachav, Halu Kol Tzavav, Halu Shemesh Verech, Halu Kol Koch Ve'ar, Halu Shemesh Shemaim, V'mayim Shemiyala Shemaim. So there's a Hallel, which isn't just, and I spoke about this a little bit on Tu B'Shvat when I spoke about how religious people view nature, isn't just the Hallel that's indirect. When we see the sun rising and the moon following its orbit and nature following its course, it's an implicit Hallel to the godless of Hashem. But there's evidently some hallel that the animals themselves say, and I mentioned the very famous Sefer, the Hallel of Nature, and the Pirkei of David HaMelech, and evidently very few people, but Shlomo HaMelech, and evidently Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, were able to decode it. So I just quoted a piece of you from the Igra Dekala, and Parks, I wanted you to get a little exposure. Who wrote the Igra Dekala? It's the next piece. The Igra Dekala was written by the Bnei Yisaschar, one of the Hasidic Rebbeim, who was a Talmud of the Chosev Lublin. She's a fourth generation Hasidic Rebbe. So he says, "In Kain Matzana Lem Dibor." In the end of the first piece, "V'mishum she'enu mivin sichasam zo kimo haloi she'enu mivin lashen Ashkenazi." So if I don't know German, it doesn't mean there is no German language. Avapikin l'shneim yichuna midabrim. Then he asks, "Well, if they're both called midabrim, and if the trees really talk, then how come we refer to the hierarchy of nature?" And the trees are not referred to as medabrim. The trees are referred to as domain, and the animals are referred to as mahalchim, and only human beings are referred to as medabrim. So what does it mean to be a medabrim? What's the difference between human speech and between speech inherent or nascent in nature? So that's the second piece he talks about. I'm not going to go into that piece right now. But at least there is some speech. And what's interesting is that Shlomo HaMelech and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai were able to decode it. What's fascinating about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is it seems like his knowledge wasn't just limited to pure Torah. He studied, for example, Mishalim of Kovsim. What are Mishalim of Kovsim? These were laundry servants, laundry maidens who would do the laundry. This was the lowest job, to go to the river. They didn't stick it into a Maytag washing machine and press the button. They went to the river and they scrubbed the clothing and they scrubbed out the inevitably the stains and the waste and whatever. These clothing weren't exactly very aromatic. They didn't have laundry sheets to put in to make them smell nicer. These were the lower members of society, but very often lower members and common folk have levels of wisdom that sometimes Tamid Chachamim, and I just mean Tamid Chachamim, but even very, very erudite people aren't able. This is called the wisdom of the common. So I don't know if you've ever studied romantic literature, but William Wordsworth wanted to launch a revolution of poetry, whereas poetry beforehand had just talked about princes and noblemen and princesses and kings and generals. Now laundry. Now poetry should talk about the common man and people that would milk cows and handmaidens and people of the villages, because there's a wisdom that these people possess which is untarnished by the experience of the urban cities which contaminate people. And he launched a revolution called the lyrical ballads. So Rabbi Yochanan evidently was wise not just in Torah knowledge, but was wise and he broadened his intellectual inquiry. Sichas Malachim, Sichas Tekalim, Mishalei. Now, the question is this why he was appointed the Rosh Yeshiva, whereas Yonatan ben Uziel wasn't? Was why he was so successful? It's very fascinating. You've heard something about this?
I mean, it doesn't mention Chachma Yivanis.
Right, it doesn't mention Chachma Yivanis, correct. There are limitations, but he didn't just study texts, he studied people. He didn't study necessarily other texts and other disciplines, but he studied the Mishalim that the average people were talking about. So what's interesting about this, and we're going to go back a little bit, is it talks about Hillel, who had 80 Talmidim, Tanur Rabbanan, Shimonim Talmidim, Haile Lehil Hazakin, Shloshim Mehem Rim Shtish Olem Shechina, 30 were worthy to have the Shechina, Shloshim Mehem Ruim Shtamod Lehem Chama Kishua Benun. And the bottom 30 were so accomplished that they could have stalled the sun like Yeshua ben Nun. And there are 20 in the middle who were somewhere between halting the sun and being suitable to receive the Shechina like Moshe Rabbeinu. Gadol Shebekulam Yonatan ben Uziel. Katan Shebekulan Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So why was the Katan made into the Rosh Hashiva? What happened to Yonatan ben Uziel that he didn't influence, and he wasn't the Abbezin in the same way that Yochanan ben Zakkai was. So does this mean that evidently, to be a successful teacher, you have to not just be a gadol in your Torah, and we'll see about Yonatan ben Uziel, who was able to fry birds who flew over him while he was learning, but something about Yochanan ben Zakkai, it was his lateral knowledge that made him into such a successful teacher of other Rabbanim. Is that what we would call such a successful Rosh Hashiva? So it's interesting that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's knowledge wasn't just limited to text, it was limited to non-text, not other cultures, but non-textual inputs of information. So it's a very interesting description of Yochanan ben Zakkai.
Part, which yeshiva was it?
No, he was just a rav, he just had a yeshiva. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's yeshiva. And he also, Daniel, didn't just teach so many great Talmidim who became rabbanim, but he also changed history. He was really the person that bartered Yerushalayim for Yavna. So evidently he had some role as a leader, that we don't see Yonatan ben Uziel being able to tackle. Now, what's very interesting about this description of Yochanan ben Zakkai is that he was also successful at davar gadol v'davar katan, great things and small things. Davar gadol, maisa merkava, what we would call Kabbalah, maisa merkava. Davar katan, havayos de'abaye v'rava. So there are two parts, actually three parts that are interesting. First of all, just in case you'll still meet someone who feels that Kabbalah doesn't exist and we're not interested in Kabbalah because they don't study it or they don't practice it, and Kabbalah is all Chas HaShalom bunk or voodoo. Chas HaShalom B'Yochanan ben Zakkai studied Ma'aseh Merkava, Yechezkel spoke about Ma'aseh Merkava, and Mordechai wrote the Sefer, or at least initiated the writing of the Sefer, Sefer HaZohar. So it's not some development in the 16th century of Yitzchak Luria, but he studied Ma'aseh Merkava. Number two is that Gemara learning, as opposed to Ma'aseh Merkava, is called Davar Katan. Now, those of you who have studied Gemara know that it's not really Davar Katan. So why does the Gemara refer to Maisa of Havayis de Bayavarava as Davar Katan? This is a very, very famous, famous Gemara. I don't want to read what the Rambam says about this, what the Shalah, who is the Makubal, says about this, and what the Ritva says about this. So we'll start with the Rambam. The Rambam talks about Pardes, Arba Nechnesu la Pardes, V'yaf al pi shegidoli Yisrael hayu, v'chachamim gidolim hayu, Lo kulam haya b'hem hakoach leidol hasig kol hadvarim al borian. Not all the Tanayim had the ability to fully encompass the Pardes, and as you know, not all of them emerged from the Pardes either with their sanity, with their religious faith, or in some cases with their lives intact. Vani Omer, the Rambam says, She'ein roi, very famous Rambam, letayel b'pardes, ela misha nismale kreso lechem ubasar. So he keeps the imagery of the parties being an orchard, and the orchard almost being the desserts, the fruits. Whereas you have to first fill yourself with the main course. V'lachem v'basar, hu leida ha'isar ha'asur v'hamutar v'kayotze b'mishar mitzvah. So we would call nigla. V'yav al pi shedivarim elu davar katan karel san chachamim. So the Rambam is concerned with why it's called davar katan. She'amu chachamim kotzar gemara davar gadol ma'isim merkava davar katan ha'vayis de'bay v'rava. Aval pi kein Ruim heim lahakdimam, for three reasons. Number one, she'em yashvin daito shalatim tchila. First, it sets your equilibrium, your wisdom. V'yod she'em hatova hagidola she'ishpia kodesh baruchu liyishuv ha'olam hazeh. Ram says yishuv ha'olam hazeh means to create a stable, just, ethical, sustainable life in this world. Kidei linchol chay olam haba. Very interesting Rambam. The relationship between olam hazeh and olam haba. If you create a stable, as we've talked about, the best way to get to Olam Haba is to excel in Olam Hazeh, because they're one continuum. So if you create a stable, upright, noble, religious Olam Hazeh, that is your Olam Haba. Number three, v'efshar sheyedum hakol katan v'gadol ish v'isha ba'alev rachav v'alev katze. They're davar katan because they are available and they're accessible to everyone. Whereas davar gadol, so here gadol doesn't mean greater in value, it means more elusive, higher on that pyramid, and only people of more intellectual power or religious strength and robustness, only those people. So it doesn't mean that these are meaningless, they're just more accessible to a greater range of people. Notice, those of you who, I should probably say this to the people that own Tikva now, with them, but notice that the Rambam says they're davar katan because they're accessible to men and women as well. So there may not be a mitzvah for women to learn Torah. And maybe the Rama may even quote that whoever teaches their daughter Torah Shabbat Peh methodically is considered teaching her Tiflus, because maybe not every woman in the Rambam's day was capable, but the Rama has no problem with women having access to Torah Shabbat Peh, as long as that access, even in the Rambam's day, where women had a secondary and an undereducated level, so where women may ruin it because of no education. But there's nothing inherently incompatible about women being able to access Torah Shabbat Peh. It's a very interesting Rambam trying to defend Havayis de Bayi V'Rava. Why does the Gemara call it Davar Katan? I quoted a piece for you from the Shalah, Davar Gadol Davar Katan, for him, and being a Makubal, so he's very insistent on creating an integration and a synthesis between the two. So for him, the word Gadol and Katan suggests integration, but they're just different levels. You move up, but they're really built on the same foundation. So he writes, Yisbar inyan nigla v'nistar shakala tarakula, he starts in general, hinei ha'olam sovrim, da'anistar hu inyan echad, inyan achar, mea nigla, v'ze'eno, rak hu sha'anistar, Nis'ave v'niskashem v'zeo giluyav. Nigla means when the nistar has body to it, you can actually see it. When it's nistar, when it's exoteric and you can't see it, then it's nistar. But when you can actually see it and refer to it and define it and dissect it, then it's nigla. But they're the same concept. Uvazeh, skipping a little, yuvan mamari chazal. Amar alav Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, shelo niach mikra mishnah, dabar gadol gadol gadol, v'kvar tamu rishonim. Halo avayis tebayi v'rava, zeo chayenu, v'yarech yameinu. The yisod v'yateid, it's both the foundation and the peg. Shakol talibah, v'ech karm davar katan. Lefi darki yitachin enyin hetev. Ki hine havayasir pilpulam mamidim dine talmud shein perish al Torah shebichsav al bar yon. It's explaining the Torah. L'havin es maisa mitzvah. Hashe perish zera pasir kachu. Shechios ruchanius hu behem mamish. Hu adavar shedibarti she mitzvah gashmias. Namely, when you're learning Bava Metziah, you're one step away from Kabbalah. If you just knew Gemara, Bava Metziah well enough, that would be your entree into Kabbalah. Don't think that, let's say, one day you decide to learn Kabbalah, all of a sudden, you're switching gears and switching frequencies and closing your Gemara. Okay, what does Migo tell you about Kabbalah? Now, you don't know the tools to make that translation. What does Shnayim Ochsim Metalis tell you about Kabbalah? What does the Din of Motzei Chavero tell you about Kabbalah? Because they both return to the same pasuk in the Torah. They both return to the same logic that comes from those pasukim. So, presumably, you may have to develop different methodologies. But it's not as if you have this pasuk, look at my hands, and Nigla will take you in this direction, and Nistar will take you in that direction. You have a pasuk, and you build a tower, and upon the tower of Nigla, the foundation of Nigla, you then leap up one level. Katan v'gadol, if anything, implies that they're built on the same foundations. They come from the same logical source, rather than seeing them as two different vectors that stem from the same pasuk. Finally, I want you to see the Ritva. The Ritva on the next page. Okay, if you can read the rest of the shalah if you'd like. The Ritva. Davar katan avayis devayi varava. Perish davar katan legave maisim erkava. Ulegave ha nami lo kari davar katan le Talmud shekatmu le kulam. Shelo niach mikra mishna talmud alachas agad esad. El avayis devayi varava heim kushiels v'terutzan v'sveiko shelahem shelo nisbaru lahem. Davar katan doesn't mean shas. Davar katan means the specific questions that Abai and Varava resolved that earlier generations hadn't been able to develop because they were katan, because they hadn't applied themselves sufficiently. Doesn't mean the mit gemara. El again, habayis de Abai and Varava, heim kushios v'terutzon v'sveiko shalom shalom nisbaru lahem, that earlier generations weren't able to crack. So this Ritva, aside from solving the word katan, is a very interesting concept, that there could be certain stages in the evolution of the Masara where people worked so hard and there was an accumulation of both industriousness, diligence, as well as knowledge, that they're able to crack ideas that earlier generations, because of intellectual limitations or work limitations, were not able to. So take a look, for example, turn the page of the Gemara in Tainus. This is a classic Gemara, which suggests that. Rav Nachman Gazar Tanis, it's a funny, not funny, but it's a cute Gemara. Rav Nachman made a Tanis, last page, source 9. By Rachmei Velasa Mitra, didn't rain. He fasted, didn't look good. He promised rain. He made a tannis. It was a later Amara. Nothing happened. Amar, they said, Shaklu Lenachman Chavutim in Gudel Ara. Okay, get rid of this. He's not a successful interlocutor. He didn't succeed in bringing rain. Rabba Gazar Tanisa, by Rachma Velasi. Oh, did I get the wrong Gemara? Yeah, okay. Whatever. So Rav Nachman and Rabba weren't successful. Line number 3. For Rabbi Huda, ki ava gazor tanisa asa mitra. So people are saying, Rav Nachman and Rabba, when Rabbi Huda used to make a tanis for rain, it rained. So we're going to replace you as the tanis leader. So Rav Nachman wanted to defend himself. Amar lo my avid. What should I do? Rav Nachman said, Imishem tenuye. If you're suggesting that I don't learn as much as Rabbi Huda, or we don't learn as much as Rabbi Huda, I can prove to you that I'm learning and we're learning stronger, better than Rabbi Huda. The Bishani Rabbi Huda, and the generation of Rabbi Huda, called Tanei ben Azikin. All they did is learn Azikin. They only learned Bavuk Metziah. Hanan kam masnina b'shisa sidrin. We're learning all six Mishnah, all six starim. We're learning Sukkah, not just Bava Metzia, Rav Nachman said. So we're expanding the scope of Torah Shebal Peh. Not only that, v'chiyavi mati Rav Yehuda b'uktzin. When Rav Yehuda used to study uktzin, he quotes a Mishnah in uktzin about a woman that pickles a vegetable, or another halacha where the zeisim were pickled on their own, the olives. Amar, when he used to get to a very difficult passage, you know what Rav Yehuda used to say? Four lines from the bottom. Havayos de Rav v'Shmuel kachazin hacha. We need Rav and Shmuel to help us solve this question. It's too deep for us. Let's go consult Rav and Shmuel about the halachas of uktzin. Reminds me one year of Amital was giving a shir klali on Masechah Sukkah. And we were discussing in the third parak, which we think we're going to learn in the summer, about the yellow of an esrog. So the yellow of an esrog, is it like Yosef's shirt or like the table Yosef's sitting at? Is that considered yellow, the green, green or yellow? So at the end of the shir klali, I asked Rav Amital, can you compare the yellow-green spectrum for esrog to the yellow-green spectrum for tzaras? Is it considered yellow for tzaras if it's really green? So Rav Amital told me in the middle of shir klali, don't ask me these questions. I don't know these things. Go ask Rabbi Wolf. He knows these things. So Rav Nachman said, we don't know. Let's ask Rav and Shmuel. They're expert at developing these very, very deep and complex issues. Va'anan, so now Rav Yehuda is, Rav Nachman is, I'm sorry, when Rav Yehuda learned, he referred them to Rav and Shmuel. But Rav Nachman is saying, Va'anan, kam masninin be'uktzen tleisar misifta. We have 13 yeshivas that are studying uktzen. So in the days of Rav Yehuda, they had to refer their questions to Rav and Shmuel. We have 13 yeshivas, Rashi, tleisar misifta. Shlosh esrei yeshivos ika b'hachmasa digamri mesechas uktzin. So don't blame it on the fact that we're not learning well enough. That's not the reason it's not raining. It ends up saying, because our generation, it's your fault. The generation isn't right. Look at yourselves. Look in the mirror. It's not my problem. I daven, no rain. It's a cute Gemara. So this is a Gemara which modularly suggests that there were certain moments, certain bursts in the evolution of the Masara where there was an assembly of great minds and the exertion of great effort to crack ideas that previously hadn't been fully understood, or maybe even had been abandoned. So the Ma'arik of Yosef Kolon, who we've talked about a lot this year, articulates, U'mashma shebimei Abaye v'Rava, that's why they're called Havayos de Abaye v'Rava, hayulomdim kol osam hayud gimel masnisa. He says this Gemara is very similar, even though it talks about Rav Nachman, it refers to Abaye and Rava, mashlo asu bedaras harishonim, dahin Rav Yehuda. V'kayotzevamidikamar v'anan masnisan b'tleisu masnaisa demashmar. Rav Nachman is talking about his generation, Abaye and Rava, later Amarayim, anan dafka v'lo inu. And he quotes the whole Gemara, and that's why they're called Havayos de Abaye v'Rava, four lines from the bottom, v'lo meha Amarayim harishonim akodim lehem. V'yaf al gav shayu gadol mehem. Even though earlier Amarayim were greater than Abaye v'Rava, gom Rav b'shmor v'yochanan, Ella should be al karchach nadim kain. Ella al karchach haynu tama kid pirashti. Shabaye v'Rava hitchilu lilmod kala brayselz v'yishvu nisal v'tirtzu es kulam shelo yikshe mizel ze omitoch kach hotziu kama dinim v'midu kama shmuots al boryam v'alamitasam. So that's why in the Torah world, one of the nicknames for Shas and in particular Lamdas is called, and Rav Aaron would use this all the time, Havayos. The Abaye v'Rava. There should be a phrase that you're familiar with that you use. What did you do this year? Havayos de Abaye v'Rava. Why Abaye v'Rava? Not, they weren't dominated by Abaye v'Rava. Some of the halachas are Abaye v'Rava. Some of them are Sheisha, some of them are Funa, some of them are Chizda, some of them are Shmuel, some of them are Rav, Rabbi Yochanan. We saw so many Amoraim this year. But Abaye v'Rava led this process of gathering great minds, opening 13 yeshivos in the days of Rav Nachman, another later Amora, and really trying to solve some of the issues that had been previously unsolved, or at least unexamined. So Rabbi Yochanan was a master at Havayos de Abaye v'Rava. Now, what's the problem here? It didn't happen yet. Like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I'd be a master, but that's the point. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's day, he had sufficiently examined all the issues, which in later generations became concealed or encrypted, and then subsequently were decoded by Abaye v'Rava. So you've got these waves in the tradition. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was an expert in the issues that Abaye v'Rava one day would have to restore because they had been forgotten from lack of effort or lack of ability. So it doesn't mean that he studied Abaye and Rava. He studied these issues so well that Abaye v'Rava had to restore them later on. Okay, so it's very, very interesting to see some of the ways that they're shown him, even in the Ritva and the Marik talk about the way the Gemara is referred to, and the wine is referred to as Davar Katan, as opposed to Davar Gadol, that shouldn't minimize, that's either aligning it with Kabbalah, or as the Rambam says, suggesting this is something that everyone has access to, according to the Rifa, doesn't mean that Gemara is Davar Katan, it means Devarim that the Katanim forgot, and that Abai Varav were able to restore. So I want to add two or three more quick issues. Number one, the Gemara had spoken about both Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus as never having said anything they didn't hear from the Rebbeim. It's a little bit odd because we have a lot of Chidushim for Rabbi Eliezer, particularly we're learning through Sukkah now. Second of all, certainly Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a lot of famous takanos about the Yom Hanaf, it's going to be Yochanan ben Zakkai, Luluf Kol Shiva B'Mikdash, a takana would imply that it's new. Maybe a halacha you're saying in the name of your Rebbe, but a takana suggests you're making a new takana. So there's a very nice Sfas Emes that I wanted you to see. It's a Sfas Emes in Masech HaSukkah. It's number 6. Basically what he says is as follows. I'll just read the end. V'od Kasha, 3 lines from the bottom. V'emes, lama lo amru divrei atzmam. Why? You can't create anything in Torah. L'chein nera, didavka k'shayod rabam kayam, manu atzmam mizeh, mitam kavod arav. V'yaf v'makum shayim mutar mipas adin, nagu v'atzim chumrzu. V'acham misasam v'emes haru v'dano. It talks about how you have to realize where you are in the Masara. I've talked about this a lot this year with the Petir of Rav Lichtenstein. So until the Rebbeim passed, until Hillel passed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was very careful about launching any new ideas, even when it was Mutter. Lesser until Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai passed. But evidently, obviously, once the Rebbe passes, you have to play your role, and you have to then adapt halacha and move it forward. Something Rav Lichtenstein spoke about a lot. Maybe I'll share with you this Thursday. I think I'm supposed to speak at the Rosh Hashiva Chug, but Pesach being a paradigm for preserving and progressing. On the one hand, you want to preserve the Masara. On the other hand, Pesach is not the same as it was in Mitzrayim. It's very interesting that Sfas Emes is able to articulate that when a Rebbe passes, the Talmud has to play a different role. What's also interesting is the fact that Rabbi Eliezer took this trait from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Does anyone know how Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai referred to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus? What was the nickname he gave him? Borasid Sheinama Betipa. So evidently, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, his whole nature, his whole personality, was to preserve and to guard, and he was very, as we would say, conservative in protecting the Torah of his Rebbe, not creating new Torah. And does anyone know, for example, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had another Talmud? His name was Rabbi Eliezer, not ben Hyrcanus, but Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach. And how did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai refer to Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach? Not a bar sitch and ma betipa, but a mayan hamisgaber. Very good. That suggests creativity. That suggests developing new ideas, overflowing the boundaries, flowing down, creating rivers, create new landscapes, create new river beds. It changes with time when it's dry, when it's flowing. So evidently, different people have different talents. And some people are predisposed to be Boris Yitzchak Betipa, and some people are predisposed to be Vayin HaMizkaber. In fact, the Gemara is very aware that some are called Sinai and some are called Ochr Harim. And Sinai's were those people that remembered everything that came from Har Sinai, and they remembered it with great fidelity and great accuracy, and others were Ochr Harim and Tochanim Zemesen. They're able to take mountains and literally uproot them, and uprooting a mountain suggests changing, making a change. And every person has their role in the Masara, and you'll see people that are great Lamdanim, and you'll see people that are great Bekiyim, and people that are very, very careful not to be Mechadish anything. And I've talked a lot about how Rav Lichtenstein trained us more in the style of Lamdanim and Ochr Harim, which didn't come at the cost of Bekiyas, but obviously you have a limited amount of time, so how much time do you spend on one, how much time do you spend on the other? So evidently, though this Gemara extols the value of Eliezer ben Azariah, Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, and Yochanan ben Zakkai, evidently there's a different Mahalach as well. I'll just end, ironically, as you'll see for a moment, I'll just end with the Gemara, but I can only end with this Gemara after 1 o'clock, and you'll see why in a moment. This is a Gemara I cannot end with before 1 o'clock. Why? Because one of the traits that they each had is they never, ever... wait a second. This is not really the trait of Rabbi Eliezer. It's a trait of Yochanan ben Zakkai. What does he say? Sorry. V'lo amar... He never told people to stop learning, except for Pesach and Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur. If you take a look at the Gemara, Source 7, this is a quote of Rabbi Yossi. It's a very famous Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Yud Ches. Rabbi Yossi says, I want to have my chelek with, anyone know? people daven vatikin, people who makdim the kabbal Shabbos, people who macher the kabbal Shabbos in Tveria and Tzipori, hichelki mihichelki. So one of the Yossi's hichelki is hichelki mimoshive beis hamedrash velo mimamide beis hamedrash. I want to be with the people who get people to be in the beis hamedrash, not with those who get people to be out of the beis hamedrash. So this is very similar. This is very similar to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He never told people to leave the beis medrash. But evidently, Rabbi Yossi was aware of the people who were involved, and actually this was their job, to get people to learn, to get people not to learn. So what type of job can it be? So Rashi says, Rashi number 8. What? Moshive beis medrash. Chazanim ma'asvei tamidim b'chol yom lavo. Chazanim means servants, and not chazanim. Oh, come to learn. The chazanim, whose job it was to get everyone to the base matters, that's what Yossi wanted to be like. If you turn the page, Mamide, I don't want to be with them, Mamide. Memonim le'esal, I'll send shop to announce lunch. Lamar, higia es lamod velechol. People, the lunch monitors, whose job it was to go around the base matters and say it's lunchtime, because they didn't have a watch, they didn't have a sundial or anything. So one of the things I always remember, how upset Rav Lichtenstein was, and I still get upset when I see people take 5 minutes early and leave the base medrash. Now, what am I doing 5 minutes early? Generally, on Thursdays, I have to go teach in Migdalos, so I have to get an early lunch, so I'll go and eat early lunch. But Rav Aaron was always makvid to end shir after lunch, and that's why I couldn't end this shir before lunch. So I'm not telling you it's time for lunch, I'm just stopping shir. Hopefully, you're able to get a sense. One more Chasidus Shavar. Yonasan Ben Uziel's Mida was that the birds that flew overhead were burnt. So, first of all, in terms of thinking of Talmud Torah as Avodas Hashem, not just intellectual, it's Avodas Hashem. But some say there's an even greater Mida. What's the greater Mida? That you're able to contain the fire and not burn people in your vicinity. And that's a higher Mida. So it's easy to have a fire, not easy, but it's one thing to have a fire and to burn. It's another thing to keep the fire inside of you and be intense, but not burn people around you.
Or birds around. Why doesn't you really just wait and go to the girls and get, you know, last week's lunch?
Because they threw in salad there. They get all the meat, they get all the salad. So it's nice to learn a little of that.
Thank you.